Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Lovely ball hit towards Cavani, and he scores!
And Benfica snatched the lead in stoppage time!
I'm Rio Ferdinand, and this is the BT Sport Champions League podcast. Last night, Zinedine Zidane's Real Madrid were in Italy for their round of 16 first leg clash with Roma, while Ghent hosted Wolfsburg in Belgium. Joining me for the best BT Sports analysis were Rafa Benitez, Gary Lineker, Michael Owen, Matt Smith, Alex McLeish and Andy Brassell.
Ronaldo! But it's the moment of magic that Real Madrid have been waiting for. Oh! That's the impact off the bench that Real Madrid were looking for. And that's a huge goal for them and a huge goal for Hesse.
Rio, no team has ever come from 2-0 deficit in the first leg at home, so it appears that Real Madrid will be probably our first quarterfinals.
Yeah, I'd say so. There doesn't look like there's any chance really for Roma in the next leg going to the Bernabeu. Even if they got a 0-0, it would have been difficult, but there'd have been a chance and they'd have been in the tie. But now, it's a very, very tough task. Mm.
I suppose Dan will be happy with the way it panned out, cagey in the first half, and then getting that goal made such a difference, didn't it?
Yeah, we were talking about the goal, so they made mistakes and everything changed. So Spalletti will not be happy with the defending of his team. After, when they changed the shape, it was even worse because they were leaving more space for Real Madrid. So
we've seen Ronaldo cut in from these positions so many times.
Yep, yeah, it was a pretty simple goal, wasn't it? Just a nice switch of play and a ball down the channel, and he uses his pace well, cuts inside. Doesn't run at players as much as maybe in the past. We were looking at some stats before the game, seeing he's less dribbles, and I expected him to try to go and take a few on, but I know you had a few views on this one, Rio, from a defensive
point of view. I think the defenders, he's not covered, the two centre-halves, they haven't covered the full-back, and the full-back hasn't even seen Ronaldo. He's looking at him, but I think he's more looking at the ball than looking at Ronaldo. And
it's a great trick.
Allowed him to run in. But, yeah, I mean, the skill to get the chance to open up the game for a shot, I mean, that's on his weak foot, the chop back, and then inside on his right foot where he's lethal. And he punishes them.
Yeah.
But I think it could have been prevented with better defending all round.
I suppose to have a player like that in your team, it always gives you a chance, doesn't it? A player that's capable of doing something magical.
Yeah, he's a great finisher. He can score goals, and then you know when he's on the pitch, if he has a chance, always will be there and he can score. So then for the defenders, I was surprised talking with Rio, because Florenzi was too far away and the defenders, the centre-back, they were too far away when you know that he's a threat.
Mm. And I suppose if they were too far away in the first goal, the second goal was no different. Surely as a defender, the very least you want them to do is come into the box. So somebody has to confront them outside the box where there's less danger,
yeah, and
no chance of giving away a penalty.
Yeah, exactly. And as we saw before there, De Rossi's behind the fullback. He should be telling him when to go and attack the ball and where to push him. You should be have him on a remote control and push him where you want him. I don't think there's any communication there. And as a left-back there, he's, well, he should have the initiative himself to be able to go and do that.
De Rossi is a centre-back. He's a centre midfielder, yeah, playing as a centre-back. Mm. Normally, he was playing in a line of five or three defenders. He was in the middle. Mm. But he was playing now in a line of four because Roma has conceded. So that is the reason why, for me, he's not the quickest. He was coming from an injury the other day in his calf. So he was dropping off too much without protecting the left full-back.
Looking at a performance like this and the way Madrid are going at present, you know the team very well, of course, Rafa. Can you see them being a real threat against the real big boys in this competition? Do you think they can go all the way?
I think they will continue growing in confidence. That is the main thing. So when we were there, we knew that these massive games were crucial for them because it's a challenge. I say it's a very competitive team. So if they progress, that it seems that they will progress, obviously, it will be more motivation for them and they will be more dangerous.
I suppose when you've got players like Real Madrid, they're always going to be a threat against anybody, aren't they?
Exactly. And I think their home form, they scare the living daylights out of other teams. At the Bernabeu, they can knock four or five past anyone. I just think the big couple, Bayern Munich, Barcelona, they're not daunted by going there. And they can get a result there themselves. So I think they've got a chance, but I'd say that Munich and Barca are probably the two favourites to lift the trophy.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I just think the big difference between Barca and Bayern Munich compared to Real Madrid is that them two teams are teams. This team, Real Madrid, rely on individuals to produce.
You still think Real Madrid are a bunch of individuals?
I think they're individuals. Yeah. I think they don't have no pattern of play where you say, this is what you see all the time with them, and it's a cohesive group of players. I think they give the ball and get the ball out to Ronaldo and say, go on, try and do what you're doing, or Bow, or Benzema. If they're not on form, they'll struggle. The other teams, there's other players who can come into it.
Do you think that's a fair criticism, Rafa?
We were trying to build a team because we knew that we had very good players. But still, you can see some weaknesses in the team. So the space when Salah was running behind Marcelo. So all these things, I think that they can try to fix these things. But if you play against a very good team, it could be dangerous, not because they, you can play for that.
They have the thing in Madrid, don't they, that it's all about the Galacticos, the superstars, etc. Is there ever a pressure, or do you feel a pressure that, you know, sometimes you have to put all of them in when perhaps for the team it would be better perhaps not to?
Yeah, you try as a manager, you try to manage the team, but you know that during the week you have a lot of people present, people inside talking all the time. So you have to have the power, strong character to say, I will do this, I will do that. But the relationship between players is crucial. So some people say, why you play this player? Don't play this player. Yeah. But the relationship between players inside, maybe...
Did you get those kind of calls yourself from the president? why is he not playing?
Yeah, but if a player's worth 70 or 80 million pounds, like Hammers, just for a president to say we're going to leave him on the bench, that's just, like, crazy, no?
Yeah, the point is that you have good players. You see Kovacic, or you see Casemiro coming, or Jesse. So you have good players around. You have a good squad. Yeah. But if you want to compete at the end of the season against Barcelona, against Bayern, you have to use the squad during the whole season.
You have to have a team. I suppose in some ways there must be a degree of frustration that you're not actually in Rome with Real Madrid right now.
Yeah, obviously, someone that is coming from the academy of Real Madrid, I was there with really proud to be there and enjoying every time. Then it's a pity because we qualified without losing any game, scoring a lot of goals, and we were really pleased with the team. And it's a pity that we are not there.
So why do you think it happened, Rafa? I mean, it seems crazy. 68% win record, joint highest scorers, as you said, in the group stages of the Champions League, seemingly going well. What happened? Why?
It's difficult to explain, so you need to know exactly... what happened in Real Madrid in the last years. You could see Camacho, Del Bosque, Pellegrini, Mourinho, Ancelotti. So it's not easy to be the manager there. And you have to do everything perfect. As soon as something is wrong, or they think, the chairman thinks that it's wrong, then you start having problems. I think that we were quite good, as I said before. But obviously, you were expecting to improve at the end of the season because the experience that we have is to manage two games a week. And then we could train for 5 weeks without just two games with one game a week. I think that we could do really well, but they were a little bit nervous, and then the fans were a little bit nervous, the chairman was a little bit nervous, and then they changed the manager.
There's many times I've heard from other Real Madrid managers that have been there, there's a lot of interference from above. Is that true?
My assistant, Fabio Pecchia, was saying that you have a permanent presence of the chairman. He's around, he's talking with players, he's talking with the press. So he's always around. It's not easy for a manager, especially when you know the experience coming from England, for example, that to see the chairman talking with players or the chairman talking with the press every single day.
It makes life very difficult as a manager. Do you think it's possible to manage consistently well at a club like Real Madrid the way it is at the moment?
When you talk about consistently, that is the key word, because to win the league, you have to be consistent. And then you can you have to fight against Barcelona, and Barcelona has a style of football, a model of football. And then Real Madrid is changing managers every year, so you have to start again. And that is the reason why Barcelona has won, or Real Madrid has won one league title in the last seven, and Atletico Madrid has won one and Barcelona five. Barcelona now is in six cup finals in the last 8 years. They have won double trophies than Real Madrid, or more than double trophies than Real Madrid in the time that the chairman is there. So I think that it's because they are consistent, and that is the key to win the league title.
So in many ways, the chairman stroke presidente, whatever you want to call him, is perhaps the fundamental problem at Real Madrid.
He did a great job in terms of business, because Real Madrid needed to improve the business part of the club, and then he did really well. In football, the problem is Barcelona is still winning and winning, so he's changing because he's trying to find solutions, but still Barcelona is winning, or they are winning more every year. That is the big problem for Real Madrid now.
Mm. And the players themselves, how did you get on with the players and the support from them?
Really good. The players are very good professionals, very competitive. So we had some injuries, especially the time when they play with the national team. We have players coming. We have three international breaks with two players coming back with injuries. So this time we were managing more or less the squad. Our idea was to create a squad, a team with a team spirit that could compete against Barcelona, especially at the end of the season. But
that takes time, Rafa, doesn't it? You need to be given time. Is part of you angry, bitter, frustrated? What's your emotion?
Yeah, frustrated a little bit because I was sad. I say that I was sad because someone that was 20 years working in Real Madrid as a player and as a coach, then you go there and you could see the players. Again, I would say they are really, really very competitive, good professionals. So to see that you couldn't control things in the way that you would like to do it and then to improve the team as a team, so it's a little bit frustrated. Yeah. Mm.
Michael, you were at Real Madrid, of course. Did you sense that kind of situation when you were there as a player?
Yeah, no question. I mean,
madhouse.
Yeah,
Casa de Locos,
that's it. Spanish football is very different to English, especially off the pitch, and the influence of presidents, the media is very, very powerful out there. And of course, you know, if a president has to, he gets elected every so often, so he has to gain votes, and that means he starts feeding media, and you know, and it's got to be someone's fault if a team loses.
But
it's got to be someone. It's not going to be his.
Yeah.
So, of course, it's very difficult. I mean, it's very difficult as a player out there. Every training session, you're almost judged with a mark out of 10 just from training, let alone playing. And I can't imagine what it'd be like as a manager.
Here's Draxler. Vieirinha and Draxler. Pocket of space. Opening goal for Wolfsburg. Draxler. Oh, it's cheeky. He's done it again. Over it comes. And another Wolfsburg goal. Max Kruse joins in the fun. Change of direction comes. They've got one back through their skipper. Saif and Koulibaly. 3-2.
Julian, congratulations on the victory. Is it a little bit hard to be very happy, though, after the two goals conceded at the end?
Yes, exactly. That's the problem, that we get the two goals in the last minutes. Yeah, I think we did a very good game. So we had the lead 3-0. And the last two goals for Ghent is not so good, but I think we have all possibilities to go through the next round, and we will see them again in 3 weeks.
As that game kind of went potty in the last 10 minutes, Alex?
I know, did I ever say that Ghent always give a good comeback?
You did.
I don't think I did, but it was a great finish for them. They restored a bit of pride because it looked as if it was going to be about six, you know, the way that Wolfsburg were picking them off at ease, but they gave the ball away too much. And Van Heusbroek said this morning that they can't afford to make mistakes. They made too many tonight.
Yeah, both teams ultimately made maybe too many mistakes. Was there some concern about just how that game finished from a Wolfsburg point of view?
I think you saw everything in the second 45 minutes with this Wolfsburg about this season. You know, you see the tremendous potential, great individual players, but you also see the wonder. They're vulnerable periods in the games. And for a top team in Germany, being 3-0 up, you should ride it out, you know, and now game is on again. So they can't afford to go sloppy into second leg, because I tell you what, again, they're a brave team. Alex mentioned it, they will attack and they can score goals like they did in the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, and sometimes the games that you don't expect to entertain do exactly that. And it was a good watch that second half for all the shortcomings on both sides.
It really was. And, you know, we talked about the quality that Wolfsburg have got on the bench, but really I think the moment where it started to unravel for Wolfsburg, funnily enough, was with André Schürrle coming on. Of course, that was at the beginning of the first half, but they were a little bit exposed on that right-hand side. You know, I think Robbie Savage said in the first half, maybe Ghent could make some inroads down the left. You know, they showed signs of maybe doing that in the first half, but that was the bit where they really came on strong in the second half, at the point where Wolfsburg looked like they had it won.
Do you give him even a puncher's chance?
I don't see it. But I think some of them look tired. But I have to say that they made too many mistakes tonight, you know, giving the ball away. And you see the Neto pass, that summed it up. You know, that's not like the Ghent that I seen last season, and certainly not the Ghent that I've seen many games this season as well.
You're not quite feeling the 4-4 in Wolfsburg.
No, but who just says they brought on good, they made good substitutions, they made a lot of chances, well, they had a lot of efforts to goal. I don't know if they've quite got the quality to go to Wolfsburg and turn the tie around.
And in truth, although they've been pretty hopeless on the road in the Bundesliga, Wolfsburg, they have been, as you'd expect, decent at home.
Yeah, very much so. I think in the Champions League, they won all their home games. And in the Champions League, they normally show a different level of concentration. And I was very surprised at what happened in the last 10 minutes. For me, the team looked leggy, and not only trash, I think another players as well. And Hopefully they have enough in the tank for the second leg.
Yeah, certainly Julian Draxler, who scored two tonight, will be hoping so. Albeit against, yes, limited opposition, it's fair to say. But sometimes a night like this in a big competition can just bring a player to the boil. Might be a little coming of age for Draxler.
Yeah, and you know what? Ever since he was a teenager at Schalke, Draxler's had real great mental strength. And you have to cope with the pressure of a club like Schalke. You know, they're one of the biggest clubs in the world in terms of people coming through the turnstiles. And he was always able to handle that. And the season before last, he got Schalke through a playoff to the group stage of the Champions League against PAOK, virtually single-handed. And, you know, there were some big players who couldn't stand up to the pressure. He did, and he scored the vital goals to get them through.
On Tuesday, Chelsea left France with a valuable away goal following a 2-1 defeat to Paris Saint-Germain, while Benfica snatched a late victory against Zenit St. Petersburg. Here's more of the best bits with Michael Ballack, Glenn Hoddle, Owen Hargreaves, Harry Redknapp, Julien Lorenz and Lindsay Hipgrave.
It is Ibrahimovic and he's deflected off the wall and in, and Paris Saint-Germain lead. Julien Sporting goes a long way and Mikel, of all people, hammers it home. It is 1-1. Lovely ball hit towards Cavani, and he scores.
Of course, the result is negative on one side. On the other hand, it's always important to have a away goal. But it hurt a bit at the end, because I think the team was playing very decently against a team which has a lot of capacity to play. So at the end, it hurt a bit, but still we are in the race.
Rio, good spectacle.
Yeah, very good game. I think Chelsea will be much happier team, an away goal. And we said before the game that the back four have to play well, but also the goalkeeper, and I think they were all up to a man. They'd done well today. I think they were very, very good. Worth the away goal, definitely.
I always thought, Michael, that 2-1 is kind of the most even of all scorelines, possibly, in these circumstances. Do you think?
Yes, but I think, I agree with Rui, it's a fair result. Chelsea done a great effort. They had a great fight. I didn't expect them that good, to be honest, but they have to do it again at home. Yeah, don't step back, same performance, and then I think they have a good chance to win.
Now, I've got to give you some credit here, Glenn. You said at the start of the game that it would be 2-1, pretty much.
Well, I thought 2-1 would be a good result, actually, for Chelsea, and I think it wasn't like they were hanging on in there. It was a good 2-1, if you see what I mean. They've lost the match, but they were always in that game. Even, you know, after 20 minutes, Paris had a right go at them. They showed a lot of character and actually started to control the game when Paris Saint-Germain scored. But second half, I felt they were always in the game. They always looked like they could defend as a team, but break and create chances. So it's a good performance from them. They'll be happy with that. 1-0 at home gets them through.
I suppose in many ways, given it was a makeshift, you know, central defensive partnership, Chelsea were pretty resilient by and large.
Yeah, they were. And we mentioned it earlier that they had to perform well in defensive areas and the goalkeeper had to play well. And I think he made a lot of saves today. They made a load of blocks, put their bodies on the line. courage that they showed. I think they surprised a lot of people today, not only us at home, but also the people in the stadium and the Paris Saint-Germain team, the way they came out and were playing and really kind of met them up the pitch and really put them under pressure at times. And the game kind of ebbed and flowed two different ways. And we all expected, really, Paris Saint-Germain to be on the front foot for most of the game, but it was a real good battle today.
I suppose, despite the fact they've lost in the end, Michael, that Chelsea showed the mettle that perhaps was missing for a large part of the early season.
Yeah, they had this. They put this effort in. I mean, I have to give them a compliment because they looked fresh from the start. They were always attacking. If you see Costa, Pedro up front until the end, how they chased the ball. That looked really good, and they were a little bit disappointed, which they don't have to be after that result, especially after the performance. Should give them confidence, you know, and hopefully, yeah, they can repeat this performance at home.
Paris Saint-Germain are a good side, though.
No, they are. They are a good side, and they came at them, didn't they, first 20 minutes. But I think if I was hitting, you'd shown from 21 minutes on. 21 minutes, Chelsea took the ball away from Paris, kept it, and started opening up, getting chances. Costa should have scored, and it was strange that they went up the other end and scored. But there was so many periods away from home against, as you say, Gary, a very good side, where they were in control of the game. And I think that gives them a lot of heart to go to the Bridge and do what they've got to do. They know what they've got to do. They've got to defend again, because if they get a clean sheet, I think they'll score. But it's tough against Paris Saint-Germain to get a clean sheet because they've got players like Cavani who's come on and made the difference.
Chelsea centre-halves, your territory, Rio. Mm-hmm. No John Terry. Zouma injured as well, of course. Bit makeshift, bringing Ivanovic in. Did well, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. And they were there. That ball they defended brilliantly tonight. The front post ball. They got in a few times, Paris Saint-Germain, but that Cahill done that probably four or five times in the game, Ivanovic a couple less, but they've done that well, really. And Cahill hasn't played many games this season, and Ivanovic hasn't played centre-back for a while, and they've really done well. And it's given the manager food for thought, I'm sure, in the coming weeks, because these two really done really well.
That's where I felt that period of the game when they scored at 1-1, that's where Chelsea missed Matic. If Matic and Mikel had been on the pitch, that we were sitting here saying they need to be solid. They need to get a real solid base. And that was a time maybe if Matic was playing and Mikel would have come on then, or they'd have played together. And we could smell it, couldn't you? We're sitting here saying, look, they've just got to tighten up a bit. But it was great movement, to be fair, to get in the
sometimes you have goal. To say, you get balls that are just great balls and great movement, and you have to hold your hands up and say that as a defender. A couple of times it happened to me. I remember at Stamford Bridge, Mata played a ball to Denver Bar, a similar type of run, and scored. And you beat yourself up about it, but when you look back and after time, you say, listen, it is great movement. It's a great finishing.
Yeah. Anyone that could have stopped that was Courtois.
Yeah.
Courtois stays in his goal, makes the angle difficult for him, and probably Cavani doesn't take the shot. And if he does, he's earned the distance to make the save. Yeah.
We may have been a bit critical of Courtois for the winning goal, but he made some decent saves in the night, Michael.
He makes good saves, but not unbelievable saves. For me, in my opinion, a good keeper has to save them, and he is a good keeper. I mean, we compare them always to the highest level, and that Champions League is the highest level, and he made a good game. I mean, his position in the box is mostly brilliant. You know, he has this vision, this feeling for the ball, but in that specific moment when Cavani scored, we were not sure. Maybe he goes through, make this decision, go through or stay back. It was a little bit unlucky for him.
Yeah. He'd be a goalkeeper, eh? That's for sure. Hugely valuable goal, though, that one, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
We will see. I mean, it's totally open for me, the match again, because PSG has the class also to make a result away, to be honest. And Chelsea, you could see in some parts of the game, the confidence is not over 90 minutes, still not there, because they always carry this Premier League season with themselves. Yeah. And you could see there's some 5-10 minutes, really good moments where they pass the ball around. You think, oh, now the confidence comes back, the old Chelsea comes back. But then they drop in old things back where you see why they don't step up, why they lose control, even against a strong team, of course. But if they build up this more and
I think it's a more nervous proposition for Paris Saint-Germain when they're over there. They know that if Chelsea score one goal and they keep it at 1-0, they go through. Okay. It's a difficult position for Paris Saint-Germain, I believe.
Rio, it's an interesting evening for Chelsea. What did you make of Diego Costa's evening?
Yeah, I thought he'd done a lot of running, a lot of effort. I think in the last few weeks, he's looked like the Costa of last season. And today, he was very, very, very good.
Do you think without the mask, he would
score?
Yeah,
I was just going to say. Huh? I was just going to say, that header, that mask must have put him off.
I played once with one, yeah. And to be honest, it's a little bit... You're not, you don't feel as comfortable as without, but...
It slips over your eyes.
It's a little bit different, you know, the vision and,
yeah,
and
definitely.
3D is a little bit different, of course.
It's got to put you off a little bit, isn't it?
Yeah. You'd have thought so. We'll give him the benefit of the
doubt. He still should have scored with the mask on, though.
Yeah.
We'll take it off. No, there's no excuse. Take it off and head it, and then
put it all part of the skills. Ibrahimovic, I think he was very relevant in the first half. Kind of gradually...
Went out the game. Got deeper, didn't he? Come deeper to get the ball. First half, he did some lovely things to the eye. He really has got talent, the lad, and he looked sharp and obviously got his goal from the free kick.
I think as a centre-half, he plays in loads of positions that aren't really threatening for you.
It seems like he's a player who's really emotional, you know? Yeah. If things are going well, he's fantastic. And sometimes I miss the part, the importance he has for this for this team. Mm. So when... It's a tight game, 1-1, or they 1-0 losing. Yeah. I expect more from him, you know. Yeah. He should step up even more. And sometimes it looks like he steps back, he waits for the moment that the teammates bring him in position, but he has to do more.
I think he goes into positions where there's less responsibility when the game gets tough. He goes away from the number nine area the box where you've got to really take the ball. Back at Stamford Bridge, they made that a fortress over the last few years, and if they can recreate that atmosphere and the way that they play, and difficult to play against at Stamford Bridge, then they're going to have a real chance. I think now we'll see what this Paris team are made of. They're going to have to do well.
It'll be a balanced game, because if you come back from here 3-0 or 2-0, then they've got to go gung-ho. They've got to go a little bit open, really offensive. But this is a wonder. They can put Matic in there, and if everyone's fit, John Terry comes back in. You know, they can tighten it up and say to Paris, come on, and we'll hit you on the break.
If you remember 2 years ago, they trailed 3-1, didn't they, and came back in the latter stage in that game.
Having said
that, last season, won all, of course, away from home and didn't manage it. So it's balanced.
I mean, I think PSG is... they can wait now, for me. They have their win. Even if Chelsea has this away goal, but today they had to show something. They had to attack. We saw that from the beginning. They looked comfortable. They passed the ball around. They didn't create much chances, but they looked really strong. Mm-hmm. And now they can wait. So I think they are able to play both sides. They can step back. They have a good counter-attack. They have quick wingers, as they can put pressure on the team. So it's a really strong team.
Both teams can wait then, because that's what Chelsea haven't got to force it. They've only got to get the one goal. Mm. So it's going to be a canny game at the Bridge.
Yeah, it's some kind quite, I think, emotionally difficult, isn't it? And psychologically difficult when you've got just a slight lead about how to go about your tactical game plan.
Yeah, and if you're not experienced enough, it can create nerves, because you're caught in two worlds and you're caught, shall we go for it, shall we sit back? And sometimes the emotion of a game and the environment you're in, the stadium, etc., can really kind of force you out of your game plan. And if you haven't got the experience and the personalities on the pitch to really say to your team, listen, we're going to go out there and play a certain way and stick to that. As I said, if they can control their emotions in a place like Stamford Bridge, then they'll go well to win that game.
I think Chelsea supporters have got a big say in this as well. You know, that place hasn't really rocked all season, rightly so. They haven't done enough on the pitch, but this would be a night.
He saved everything.
Exactly. Saved it for this, yeah. And they're not going to wait for the team and the players to get them out of their seat. They'll be out of their seat from the first minute. And I think they've got players, Chelsea, that will respond to that. And let's see if Paris are strong enough to deal with that.
We talked about the central defenders. Who else impressed you in the Chelsea performance tonight, Michael?
I must say, Fabregas. I've seen a few games from him, and I'm always impressed by him the whole season. He was not that...
He's had a lot of criticism for his performances earlier in the season.
Yeah, but he's a serious player. He knows what he's doing on the pitch. And even if he's not very active on television, like today, he has always this... He makes 80-90% the right decisions in terms of passing, in terms of running, closing space. And Azpilicueta was really good, especially in the first half. He had some great challenges. He was really quick into the game. So, overall, it was a really... good performance, a good Chelsea team. They put a lot of effort in. Also, the wingers, both, they played their part. Like Gusset mentioned it, they played their role. I think he was asking for that, to cover the two fullbacks. But they have to do it again.
I think that the two centre-halves had a huge responsibility today, and they stood up well. I think with the likes of John Terry missing, with Zouma out, not being a natural partnership, not playing together often. I think that was to come in and do that away from home in a Champions League in knockout stages is a big ask.
Ivanovic looked a centre-half, didn't he?
Yeah, I think
he's played
a better
full-back all his life, but he does look Chelsea. Like he looked naturally a good centre-half, and that might be something they think for the future going forward, whether that's the reason behind John Terry. Not staying, possibly, I don't know. But he looked really quite solid. And
I mean, they bought him for that position. And I think he feels more comfortable in that
definitely.
Position than as a right back. Sometimes he looks limited when he's stepping, going over the half line. But nobody expects that from him.
It was a tough game It was a tough game for Babar Rahman as well to come in at that level. Mm. And I thought he did well, defended solidly, got great crossing for Costa that should have been a goal. And credit for him as well. Mm.
Crescito is going to walk here for a second yellow card. Zenit St. Petersburg are going to have to play stoppage time, a man light, and Benfica have a free kick. Well, we are past the 90th minute as Gaetan plays it in, and Benfica snatch the lead in stoppage time.
Andre, that is a cruel defeat so late in the game.
Yeah, a little bit. I thought that we were good in the first half, and we looked solid. We wanted to hold on, of course, to the result as it was, to take it to the second leg. Unfortunately, via set play, we conceded. Still, I can only congratulate the players. Tactically, they were there. They were there for the team. Physically, they were there too. So we look to be on track, to be in shape for the second leg. We will have to attack more, create more chances. Of course, it's going to be a different game. So now we have to focus on turning the leg around. We will need to be a little bit more competent in attack, create more situations, because we didn't create probably enough as we wanted today. And I think the tie with 1-0 is still open.
Harry, was it what you expected from a first leg tie there?
Yeah, it was a tight game. I think we expected a tight game, and it's even well set up now. But Benfica, to go away, they've not conceded an away goal. They've got a one goal advantage, so they're in good shape. Really, they've got to give themselves a real chance in the second leg.
Did you feel they edged it, Benfica, Owen?
Yeah, I think they definitely edged it. There was another terrific chance from Gaetan as well that he just missed. But I thought they were the better of the teams. They dominated possession, and I think obviously Zenit came to get a draw, get a. A good result away from home, but I think Benfica were the better side of the two, even though they won a ton of chances in the game.
Did you expect more from both tonight, Jules, in the last 16 of the Champions League?
Well, it was a bit, the form of Zenit was a bit unknown because they hadn't played for 2 months. I think it's really hard, even if you train hard and you play friendlies, not playing for 2 months, I think you're going to pay at some point, and I think they did towards the last 20 minutes of the game, really. And for Benfica, playing at home, the first half was a bit disappointing, even some part of the second half, but in the end, I think Gaetan and Jonas as well, who's been in incredible form since signing on a free from Valencia 2 seasons ago now, just edged it a little bit and give them that advantage for the second leg.
Well, Harry, there was plenty of cards shown in that match, and indeed it was a sending off that led to the goal. Crescito with a second yellow card. Do you feel it was a little bit harsh, the second yellow?
It's he's come through the back of him, and it's a double whammy. I mean, it's not a bad challenge, though, is it, really? There's not an awful lot in it, is there?
No.
I couldn't sit and say it was a vicious challenge, and it was a harsh sending off, second yellow, but it cost them dearly. Not only a sending off, and they conceded the goal, so finished up a bad night.
One of the best strikers at the moment, on form in Europe at the moment, Jonas, his 25th goal of the season, just confidence sky high for him.
Well, he obviously needed a bit of service. He didn't get any of that in the first half. Set pieces is a way to do that. And Gaetan puts in a terrific ball. And I think Jonas, like Julian said, in the last 2 seasons, he's shown that when he gets the service, he's a very, very good goal scorer. The leading goal scorer in Portugal this season. And he proved that there.
It wasn't...
Just to come back on the foul, there was no need for Crescito to do that foul.
No, there was no danger behind him, was
there? It was the 90th minute. The player is back to your goal. There's no danger. Yeah. There's nothing. Just let him get it. It's very similar to the Vasilevsky foul for Leicester against Arsenal at the weekend. We see it again. Look, he doesn't need to go there. There's 30 yards behind him between the forward and the goal. Just let him. Just block him. Don't let him turn. And that's it. And your job is done. And there's 3 minutes to go after that. And you end up nil-nil. Instead, you give a free kick.
Yeah.
And then and Vasilevskiy with Leicester against Arsenal, the last minute, similar. There's no need for him to go and make that foul and Ozil for Welbeck, and that's very similar.
As a manager, you're sitting on the touchline, you're shouting, don't foul, no free kicks. You know, you don't want that ball loaded into your box. They're not going to score in open play. You could see that they hadn't scored for the previous 89 minutes. Don't give free kicks away. Don't invite the ball in the box. Silly free kick.
Especially when you know you've got a referee who's already handed out a few cards.
With the send-off, but also with the goal. It cost them the goal, you know.
Guess at that point he was already going to miss the second leg as well, Crescito, with that first yellow card. In the way of chances for Zenit, Jules, not too many. I guess there was one for Axel Witsel at the start of the second half, probably the closest they came.
Yeah, we saw Hulk's free kick in the first half, obviously, and this shot for a long range from Witsel. That's all what they've been able to do. I think that it's one thing to have a game plan where you try to play on the counter, but if you can't even counter, then your game plan is useless. And there was not enough threat going forward for them. It's disappointing because Dani and Hulk and Juba, they're good players, but they look like they didn't really want to going forwards.
Mm. Yeah, okay,
it'd be a different game away. Freezing cold night. Mm. Probably a snow-covered pitch.
Yeah.
it will test the Benfica team there for sure.
There's some cracking games next week, Michael. Which one? Well, let's start with Arsenal-Barcelona. I mean, they keep getting them, don't they? It's not a great draw for Arsenal. And especially with that front three, you think, how can they possibly compete?
That's right, yeah. I mean, it's a horrible draw, isn't it?
It's horrible, but it's also wondrous.
It is. And Arsenal... you know, they're not afraid. They set out and they play a similar way all the time. They can score goals. Yeah. Whether they can stop them against those three is another matter. But it's a brilliant tie, and you know, and if they do get knocked out in this tie, it's not end of season for Arsenal. Obviously, they've got fully charged for the Premier League title as well. So it's a big sort of third of the season for Arsenal. There's plenty to play for, and it looks a tough one on paper, doesn't it?
Yeah, Barcelona are so strong at the moment, aren't they, Rafa?
Yeah, we were talking about that before. They have a style of football, a model. Every player, they know what they have to do. And now they work as a team and they have this team spirit and confidence in themselves. So it's quite difficult to stop them every game because they are patient. If they have to keep the ball close to your box for 2 minutes, they can do it. Yeah. So no rush, and then after they will score.
And that front three, Rhea. We can't wait to... you just love watching them play, don't you?
Oh, it's beautiful. I mean, the other week, watching them the second half.
They just
enjoy putting the ball on a plate for each other. Yeah. Go on, you score. No, you score, actually. I want you to score. I'll give you a hat-trick this week. It's just... it's like playing in the playground at school, what they're doing. And they're playing it at the top level. And as I said, you've got Suarez. I think he's been the icing on the cake. He's been the final piece in the jigsaw because he's so selfless. But he demands that two centre-backs have to take care of him because of his work rate. He's potent when the ball comes in the box. And he's got a great work ethic. So he demands the attention of two players, which then frees up this guy, Neymar, with his great individual brilliance. And the other man, the little-known Messi.
Mm. I suppose, I mean, that's the problem, isn't it? If you can try and stop one, but then another one might get you. And if one's having an off night, well, the other two will get you.
But I think that's the big thing as well. Yeah. Arsenal, who are in our league, are very adventurous. Yeah. They dictate the play in games. If they dare go and do that against Barcelona, they will be opened up and taken apart. They need to go. I believe they need to try and contain them and hit them on the counter attack. Like they've done against Bayern. Yeah.
Elsewhere, Manchester City, you would fancy to go through, Michael?
You would. They've been given a favourable draw.
Although they've struggled the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, they have struggled, but this is a chance. I think the Champions League is their holy grail, really. They're wanting this tournament more than anything, and I think they've been given a good opportunity progress through a reasonably tricky group. Yeah. You got to favour them. Yeah. Second leg back at the Etihad as well.
Final thought, Rafa, reasonably brief. Who do you think is going to win the Champions League this season?
At the moment, I think that the Bayern, Barcelona, and obviously I have to support Real Madrid because they have very good players. But I think that these teams are a little bit ahead.
Thanks for listening to the Champions League podcast. We'll be back again next week for more of the best insight and analysis. See you then.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.